You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look for ways we can work together to advance the cause of Jesus Christ. Today we have with us Josh Bennett. He's the lead pastor of Awaken Church in Tifton, Georgia. And so Josh, you and your wife Ashley have been there. How many years have you been at Awaken in Tifton?
Yeah, we've been there just over 4 years as a whole. We moved there in the summer of 2017. We'd been in Tucson, Arizona for 8 years planting a church there, and we're excited to have the opportunity to move back to Georgia in 2017 and then launch the church in 2018.
So. Very good, and we need to say you're representing. You've got a little bulldog on you today.
Yes.
You're very proud of the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yes, great day. Great day. Georgia won the national championship last night, so it's an exciting moment.
It's a good deal. So you started your church. You all started before the pandemic. Correct. You've seen what it's like before and after, but you already had in the works, we might say, a good way to set up volunteers, a good way to have a culture of volunteers. So tell us a bit about how you do that there in Tifton at Awaken Church.
Yeah, so it begins with a philosophy as leadership. We believe that our volunteers are the heartbeat of our church. And so we invest in our volunteers, we pour into them, and we spend a lot of time asking the question, what does a healthy volunteer culture look like? A lot of times people ask the question, how do I recruit volunteers? And there's a book that shifted my mind on that. It's called Stop Recruiting and Start Retaining.
Yes.
By Darren Kizer. And he says, it's not about recruiting people. It's about having a culture of volunteers that people want to be a part of. And so I read that book 7 or 8 years ago. It really began to shift some mindset there in Arizona and now in Tifton. And so we pour into our volunteers for several reasons. One, we believe that every believer is called to be on mission.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter who you are in the church, we believe you have a role to be serving. And so we bleed that out from on stage and messages. Hey, if you're here, you have a role to serve and you need to be a part of that culture. Second of all, we believe that's where healthy communities built, that people build some of the greatest relationships inside the church, serving side by side and rubbing shoulders with other people, even more so than small groups in many ways, that mm-hmm. a lot of healthy relationships are built that way. So we really focus on building that culture, having a volunteer culture where people want to be a part of it, they're rewarded for serving, they're trained, equipped, and they're appreciated. And so those are kind of some main focuses for us. And then one thing that we make sure that we do is we connect serving to the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter whether somebody's cooking lunch for an event or they're watching kids in the nursery, there needs to be a clear connection. How is this impacting the gospel? And so that's a huge focus for us in volunteer culture.
That's great. So if I go to Awaken Church in Tifton, mm-hmm. I'm just attending. Perhaps I'm already a member. I know that I have some sort of job, some sort of right. something that I need to be involved in and doing something. And right. probably there's some people looking, well, how could you have something for everyone to do? But there is something for every person that's a believer to do, isn't there?
Absolutely. And the focus is trying to connect people with what their gifts and talents already mm-hmm. are. And a lot of times we're bad in church ministry of going, well, we have these needs, so let's see if we can find people to come in and serve. And man, we've done this so many times in our ministry where somebody comes in, hey, I want to serve. Great. We need kids volunteers.
So, yeah.
That's always the area where you're short-staffed. And you really have to shift that mindset from needs. You don't need people to serve. They have a need, a God-given
yes.
need to serve. And so you connect them. And so we give people a lot of freedom. When they come in and we begin to have that conversation with them, we say, hey, here's the areas we already have. And if you're gifted in those are great. But if you have another area of service that you're gifted in, let us know and let us find it. A prime example of that, we have a lady named Peggy. And Peggy came into our church, and we have an event called Lunch with Pastors. You're new to our church, you stay and eat lunch with the pastors. We talk about serving. And she asked, where do you get this food? And we said, well, we cater it in from a restaurant. She said, well, I'm a retired restaurant owner. And she said, I'd love to cook these meals for free. And that's Peggy's way of serving. She cooks mm-hmm. meals every 6 weeks for everybody that's new to the church. She cooks for small group gatherings, different things. But that was a case where we didn't say, okay, Peggy, you need to find one of these three areas to serve in. We used her gifts and talents that she already had. And she is fulfilled in serving in that area because it's what she enjoys doing.
That's great. So you don't try to push them into children's work or trustee right. work or whatever it would be. You look at the individual. You're doing that with conversations. You have other ways that you try to help people identify how God has uniquely made them to use them in some particular activity.
Right. Yeah, we use spiritual gift inventories, mm-hmm. but we found that a lot of times the greatest way is through that relational aspect of talking to people and finding out, you know, what things do you enjoy doing, and more than just having a standard, hey, fill out these questionnaires, but having that really relational aspect to it has helped us really suit people and better to getting connected. And it's really hard because at the same time you have gaps and you have needs where you need to push people. But really, and volunteers appreciate that on the front side when you say, hey, I'm trying to find your best fit.
Yeah.
I'm not just trying to plug you in somewhere. And then the other thing that we do is we allow people to try things out. Mm-hmm. We say, hey, come tour. And this is something we're actually starting new with our volunteer culture. When somebody signs up to serve, we say, okay, here's the first step. Just come on a Sunday. We're going to give you a volunteer. We're going to mm-hmm. go around and show you the areas of serving and see what clicks, what you like. And then even the first several weeks is always a trial period. So we're going to check back with them. Our volunteer coordinator is going to go, how's this going? Do you like this? Is this a fit? Is it what you thought it was? Or do you think there's somewhere better that you could serve? So trial and error, relational aspect is our main emphasis for that.
That's good. So let's say I show up at Awaken Church this Sunday. I start doing this tour. Mm-hmm. What kind of volunteers, what kind of positions, if you will, or activities right. am I going to see that somebody could be involved in?
Okay, so we have three main areas of service that are routine areas of service. First is our first impression team. Mm-hmm. So we have greeters who are out front. That's our first beginning phase of our first impressions. They're connecting everybody. We have a table that says new here, start here. People come in, they get a gift from them. And then there's somebody that serves on the inside in that same capacity. So if somebody, a new person comes, they meet a greeter outside, they get handed off to a second person who helps them get a connect card filled out either on a tablet or in a card. And then that person's going to take them over to our cafe where we serve coffee. And so we have volunteers that are serving there in our cafe area. And then we also consider our ushers to be part of that first impression team because they're going to help find places to sit mm-hmm. and things like that. Our second area, it would be our kids ministry. Mm-hmm. So we have kids check-in team. That's volunteers who help get families connected for the first time, checking in, getting kids' name tags, finding out where their kids go to serve. And then, of course, we have all our kids volunteers that fall under that as well. We have three classes, a nursery, a preschool, and an elementary age. So we have teachers in all three of those, and then teachers' assistants that go there as well. So that's our second main area. And then the third would be our worship team. Mm-hmm. So whether they're on stage or in the tech crew or anything of that nature. So those are the three different areas you would see. And overall, that's about 12 different roles that you would see every Sunday mm-hmm. that is being filled by multiple people.
So there's truly something for everyone,
correct.
Be an introvert, be an extrovert, people person, or, hey, I'd really like to pull back a little bit.
Absolutely.
There's something for everybody to be involved in. Yeah. Now, how do you keep them? You get folks recruited. You help people identify their skill set, their spiritual gifts. How do you help them? Because, it's sometimes people are a little grumpy and you're greeting them week after week, or do they greet week after week? How do you keep your volunteers, shall we say, motivated?
Okay, so one thing we do is we find out how often they want to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people want to serve every single Sunday. Some people want to serve once a month. And so we give them that option, and that's part of our on-ramping process is, you know, how often do you want to serve? If this ever changes, let us know. A big part is appreciating volunteers. So twice a year we have two really big appreciation events. And we tell our volunteers all the time, look, it's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
But those two nights we say, tonight is about you. We're pouring back into you guys, have a good time, laugh. We get them good gifts. We cater in steak dinners. We really pour into them. We've brought in Byron Trimble to do comedy and different things like that just to have a night where they feel refreshed and rewarded. But there's always this relational aspect. So as the pastor, I'm always trying to keep my finger on how are people feeling. You can tell when somebody's getting burned out.
Yeah.
You can tell when they're unhappy serving. You can tell when they used to show up with a smile and they don't. And so having that relational aspect of going to them, and sometimes it's sending them a card during the week.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's going and saying, hey, are you happy serving here? Would you be happy serving somewhere else? and really doing that as well. But I think the primary thing, and I mentioned this earlier, but I want to give a story to go with it, is connecting it to the gospel.
Yes.
Because nothing refreshes people when they're serving more than understanding the connection to the gospel. So we had a couple come into our church in Arizona. Their names were Matt and Nikki Moore. They were late 20s. And when they first got to the church, they met this guy out front named Keith. Now, Keith was the guy who talks too much. He's the guy we had to redirect because we needed some freedom on our Sunday morning to talk to other people. And so we said, Keith, we want to put you out front and want you to catch everybody. We called him our quarterback. Mm-hmm. We want you to catch every guest and pass them off to somebody else. And so Keith catches this couple out front, introduces himself, and he goes inside and he hands them off to a lady named Miss Edie. And Miss Edie is that lady, when you go to her house, it doesn't matter if you've eaten 10 meals, you're going to have to eat because she's that hospitable, and she's just not going to let that go. And just she's that perfect grandmother-type figure. And she takes this couple, and she shows them around the church, and she asks them, hey, do you have any kids? They said, well, we have a one-and-a-half-year-old, but he's not with us. And so she said, well, let me take you to our kids area. And she introduces them to everybody in the kids area. She found me, introduced them to me, and just kind of a quick, brief introduction, and went and set them in the sanctuary. Well, after the service, I saw this young couple leaving, and I hadn't really had a chance to talk to them. So I ran out into the parking lot, and I called them. And the husband had already gotten in the car, and he got out and walked around, and they both just broke down.
Oh.
Matt was 28 years old and had just been diagnosed with terminal colon cancer. Mm. And they had moved to Tucson because his wife's family were there, and they were trying to set her up for his passing. And they just began to pour, and they said, we've never felt so welcome. We've never felt a place just open their doors to us. Well, they came back 2 weeks later with their young son, Colin, and they took him to kids ministry. And you can imagine the stress of a young family they're going through, and this child felt that. And so in the nursery, he screamed. He screamed the entire hour. Mm-hmm. I could hear him from the stage screaming. And that morning, Matt gave his life to Christ.
Wow.
He accepted the gospel. And I immediately walked off stage after the altar call. And I walked around to the nursery. And I opened up the door. And Joelle was one of our volunteers there. And she's now a leader on staff at the Springs Church. And you could see it on her face. She was ready to quit everything. She had been holding this screaming baby for an hour. And I just looked at her. And I said, Joelle, I just want you to know that baby that you're holding. And she knew the story of the dad and cancer. I said, that baby that you're holding, says dad just gave his life to Christ and it's changed eternity. And immediately all that stress melted away and her eyes teared up because what she was doing, holding a screaming baby, connected to the gospel. It made an eternal impact. There's nothing you can do to energize a volunteer more than connect the gospel, because that's our God-given need, mm-hmm. is to be a part of what God is doing. So.
And every one of them are important. Every one of them matter. It's 1 Corinthians 12 is really on display in that in that example you just gave.
And everybody had a part in that. Keith, Edie, Joelle, every single person.
Their own gifts.
Yes.
Their own gifts. Oh, that's wonderful. And so I'm listening. Let's say I'm a pastor all by myself. I don't have any other staff. How do I get started? And I know whoever's coordinating the volunteer ministry is a key component of that. How can I get that kind of going and help people see how valuable this is, how important this is in our church?
I think the first thing you do is you look in the mirror and you say, what is my philosophy? What is my mindset about volunteers, servants here at the church? Is it just, hey, there's this obligation to fulfill roles? Or do I see volunteer ministry as a ministry in itself? And what I mean by that is when people are volunteering, I'm having the opportunity to serve them and minister to them by giving them the chance to volunteer. And so really asking yourself those hard questions, what do I view our volunteer ministry as? And then saying, how can I be a better pastor to our volunteers? And I think that's where it all starts. And then you begin to change the culture. And culture change is never easy, but it requires, repetitive vocabulary. It requires getting key leaders on board and saying, hey, if you understand our volunteer culture is not healthy, then how do we begin to change that? And you just start from the top down and you pour it out, you repeat it, you reward the types of behaviors or reward the type of culture that you're trying to create. And it's a slow change. But it's hard work, but it's worth it. But I think it's just that overall mindset shift of, hey, these people are here to serve us, as opposed to we're actually serving them, even though they're serving. We're pouring them and pastoring them. And so one of the mindsets for us, and for me in particular, is I believe one of my major jobs is to pastor our volunteers mm-hmm. and to pour into them because they're the ones pouring into everybody else in the church and guests and things like that.
Mm. It truly is. I mean, Ephesians 4:11-12, you're equipping them and you're trying to empower correct. Them, if you will, to do what they're doing.
Yeah, correct.
Good job, Josh. Well, hey, thank you for stopping in and joining us today, and thank you for sharing with us, and I'm sure people could connect with you as well.
Absolutely.
If they would like, and you could help them, hey, you can do this in your church. You, if you're a volunteer and you're listening, think about that mom or think about that volunteer holding that baby, right. And think about that morning. That's really what it's about. We truly do impact eternity when we give of our gifts to the Lord.
Absolutely.
Hey, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. My privilege to be here today.
And thank you all for listening today. We encourage you to take this podcast, share it with someone that would benefit. Remember, every little thing we do truly does help to expand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And remember, we truly are better when we work together.